Hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome to the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. This is episode 26. My name is Ryan. I am your host. Thank you everybody for listening. Before we get into our reviews for today, I decided that just as a little sort of tidbit that I'm going to try to throw into each episode, I'd like to read a quote that pertains to music that's from Albert Einstein. I'm going to do this at the beginning of every episode from here on out, for as long as I can. I'm going to read a famous quote that's about music, because for me, music is life. And, I thought, you know, why not share these little nuggets of wisdom with you? So here's a quote, as I said, from Albert Einstein. He said, "If I were not a physicist, I would probably be a musician. I often think in music. I live my daydreams in music. I see my life in terms of music." That is just one of the many reasons that I admire Albert Einstein. So today, I am going to be reviewing new releases from The Decemberists, Michelle and Degeocello, Hot Snakes, and Mount Eerie. All of these records were released on March 16th. Before I get into those reviews, I just want to mention a few albums that I think you should check out if you feel so inclined. The first is the new self-titled record from Stone Temple Pilots. This is sort of a new incarnation of Stone Temple Pilots with a guy named Jeff Gutt doing vocals. He is formerly of a new metal band called Dry Cell, so that might be, you know, why you recognize either his name or his vocals. So check that record out. I think it's worth checking out if you're an STP fan. It's probably going to be pretty polarizing as far as opinion, but give it a listen. See what you think. There's also a record from the always interesting Dean Ween. This manifestation is the Dean Ween group, and the album's called Rock 2. And also there is a new record from hip-hop artist Bishop Nehru, as in N-E-H-R-R-U, Nehru. The album's called Elevators, Acts 1 and 2. Check that one out, too. All right, so let's get into our reviews for today. First record I want to talk about is the new record from the Decemberists, and it is called I'll Be Your Girl. Portland, Oregon's indie rock, you know, stalwarts, the Decemberists, return with I'll Be Your Girl, which is their 8th studio album, and the follow-up to 2015's record What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World. This album, on which the band for the first time focused on writing mostly synth-based tunes inspired by such acts as Depeche Mode and New Order, tries with limited success to pair this musical aesthetic with a lyrical backdrop of post-2016 election uncertainty. Just as a side note, this really odd thing seems to be happening lately where bands are writing politically conscious music, which I fully support and appreciate, but it's missing the mark or it's coming up short. And it seems very odd given the level of political polarization and angst here in the States right now at this moment. But my favorite releases so far this year, seem to have a common thread of storytelling, but it's storytelling that leans more toward the personal than the political or the societal. So I'm intrigued to see how things go from here, given the fact that, things under, things under our current leadership don't seem to be really bringing folks together. So we'll have to see how that goes. But anyway, here is a sample from I'll Be Your Girl's first single, which is called Severed. So the record starts off with a song called Once in My Life, which frontman Colin Molloy claims sort of came from a desire to write a tune that was based on a single sentiment. In this case, one of a, somebody feeling that their life is just a series of constant pitfalls, which I think is a pretty common, pretty common feeling. Lyrically, Molloy seems to be channeling one of his, admitted influences here, Morrissey. And the song, musically sets, the synth-heavy, pseudo post-punk feel of many of the tunes on this record, sets the tone early. But unfortunately, Once in My Life is about 2 minutes too long, I'd say. A song that's based on one sentiment, with very repetitive lyrics to match, doesn't need to be 5 minutes long, especially at the front of an album. It's catchy, but it overstays its welcome pretty quickly. And then from there, the album embarks on just a kind of a roller coaster of a ride. At times the cross-pollination of folk and post-punk works pretty well, as on the politically charged single Severed, of which you just heard a sample of. And then in other places, like the track Cutting Stone, the two styles sort of rub each other the wrong way, and make the whole proceedings feel somewhat forced. Now, some of the typical Decemberist whimsy comes out on the album, exemplified best by the 8-minute track Rusalka Rusalka Wild Rushes, which I think is a masterclass in building momentum and also having a satisfying conclusion to a song. It's perplexing to find a gem like this sharing record space with a hokey, forgettable clunker like the track Everything's Awful, or the sort of, kitschy track Your Ghost, which is a paranormal ditty that doesn't quite match similar, paranormal story songs like Little Ghost, by the White Stripes, something like that. Even the rollicking, made-for-audience participation track We All Die Young feels just insubstantial. As if it was kind of based on a half-formed idea. And the closing track, which is the title track, it brings the action back up to, what is most appealing about the band's sound. Bright folk that finds a healthy balance between subtle humor and earnest human emotion. It's a reminder of what the band do best. And it really makes me scratch my head in regards to some of the choices the band made, at other times on this record. It's understandable that a band 8 albums and nearly 20 years into their career is, motivated to explore different aspects of their sound more fully. Perhaps I'd say, hopefully I'll Be Your Girl is, a transitional album that puts Decemberists on a path to something a little bit more substantial. So I gave the record I'll Be Your Girl a rating of 6.5 out of 10. Okay, so the next record that I'd like to talk about is the new record from Michelle Ndege Ocello, and it is called Ventriloquism. So, Washington, D.C.'s legendary singer-songwriter, bassist extraordinaire, occasional rapper, activist, and just all-around badass, Michelle Ndege Ocello, who was born Michelle Lynn Johnson, returns to the game with Ventriloquism, her 12th studio album, and the follow-up to 2014's record Comet, Come to Me. This record is comprised of covers of R&B and pop tracks, specifically from the 80s and the 90s. Now, it's really a shame to me that your average listener would probably only know Ndege Ocello from her collaboration with John Mellencamp on a cover version of the classic Van Morrison track Wild Night, which came out in 1994. You know, while that cover certainly exposes someone to Ndege Ocello's skills as a bassist and her talent for bringing something unique to material written by another artist, I think it's too straightforward a cover to motivate someone to delve deeper into her catalog. I myself, admittedly, have had a very spotty relationship with her music over the years. You know, checking in here and there to see what she was up to, but never really committing myself to her material. So when I found out about the upcoming release of Ventriloquism, I decided it was time to give myself up. You know, if this had been any other artist, I would have taken a step back and asked myself if this would be a worthwhile record to spend the energy and the time reviewing. But I certainly know the talent that lies behind what Ndege Ocello does, so I decided to go for it. I'm glad I did, because it forced me to examine the idea of, you know, taking another's creative vision and putting one's own spin on it. And, you know, that fine line that runs between tribute and appropriation. Here is a sample from the first track on the record, which is a cover of the Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam track, I Wonder If I Take You Home. So, while the original version of I Wonder If I Take You Home, which was released in 1985, you know, is a sort of vintage, kitschy 80s dance hall, you know, callback with all the tropes that you'd expect, you know, with the synthesizers and a staccato drum machine rhythm and a vocal from Lisa Lisa that sounds a lot more phoned in than I remembered it sounding. Ndege Ocello turns it on its head by providing a live space for the song's elements to really breathe. You know, from the Philly guitars to the vocal loops Ndege Ocello uses to fill in some of the pockets between, you know, between the melodies and the vocal lines, you know, to the just enough flourish of organ. The whole vibe of this version feels like a bridge between Ndege Ocello's bouncy, immediate present and the nostalgia of, you know, Lisa Lisa's mid-80s nightclub days. The most striking aspect of Ndege Ocello's version to me is her voice, the huskiness of which stands in stark contrast to Lisa Lisa's somewhat soulless sounding vocal performance. And Ndege Ocello's cover of the 1988 Al B. Shore single Night and Day, which is the next track, works in a similar fashion to I Wonder If I Take You Home, though the vibe here is more tender. Lush harmonies and meandering guitar passages and a touch of almost Middle Eastern sounding synthesizer work, you know, all create an image of this all-consuming love. And then next up is a cover of Prince and the Revolution's 1986 track, Sometimes It Snows in April. Now, this cover is closer to the original in feeling, if not in instrumentation, with Ndege Ocello singing falsetto for brief portions of the song, while spending most of this version singing or speaking in a low, near rumble. The overall effect of her updated version is one that I think brings a sense of resignation with some small hope to the tune, as opposed to the original, on which Prince seems far more plaintive. Ndege Ocello turns next to the 1995 TLC smash hit Waterfalls, and in recreating this tune, And DeGioacello proves compellingly that, you know, a hit is a hit, even if approached from a different angle. I was surprised when I revisited the original at just how generic and lifeless the music sounded. You know, even with the, you know, always heartfelt vocals of TLC, you know, layered over them. But DeGioacello's, you know, folky acoustic guitar-driven version sounds much more sort of dreamlike, with surreal waves of synth washing over the track, like, and her vocals, you know, sounding more weary to me than those on the original version, which lends a lot more weight, I think, to the pain and the concern in the lyrics. Then DeGioacello proceeds to take on George Clinton's 1982 classic Atomic Dog. Now, while I've always been able to appreciate Clinton's original version, it's always seemed much too busy to me, especially vocally. And DeGioacello's version resolves this issue for me perfectly, allowing the songs, or allowing her version's layered instruments to represent those vocal flourishes. This version displays just how adept DeGioacello is at finding the foundation of a great song and building her own vision of it. And next, DeGioacello turns in an intriguing cover of the 1990 Ralph Tresvant hit Sensitivity, turning it into a bouncy, jazzy, almost madcap affair that, apart from the melody and hook, sound nothing like the original to me. She also turns Janet Jackson's 1987 hit Funny How Time Flies into a cinematic, eerie, almost sinister slow burner. And DeGioacello's cover of the 1986 hit Tender Love from Force MDs trades the original's lonely piano for acoustic guitar and harmonica. And I just thought it was interesting that Sensitivity, Funny How Time Flies, and Tender Love all were written in part by the very successful team of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. So it's almost like a sort of unofficial trilogy on the album that, you know, you would only know about if you did the research. So it's pretty cool. Next up, the System's 1987 hit Don't Disturb This Groove gets the DeGioacello treatment, and she takes it from the dance hall into a wide open space with plenty of reverb heavy vocals and glassy guitar sounds. It's also a great example, you know, one of many on this record, of DeGioacello's talent for being both expansive and concise when reworking a song. In this arena, she has few, if any, rivals, and she proves it once again on her version of Tina Turner's 1984 hit Private Dancer, penned by none other than Mark Knopfler, which I, for some reason, didn't know that until I was doing research for this episode. Now, DeGioacello's version is just downright mournful sounding at times, especially during the verses. And the choruses highlight a sort of, you know, weary resignation on the part of the song's narrator, you know, that came through in Turner's version, but which DeGioacello amplifies. And the song takes on this, like, mad circus quality just before it ends, coloring the subject matter in a way that the original definitely doesn't. DeGioacello wraps up, you know, this whole affair on ventriloquism with a pretty faithful cover of Sade's 1984 hit Smooth Operator. And it becomes clear after a listener has reached this point that DeGioacello has had a specific mission here, you know, to pay tribute, but also to add her unique vision and a layer of musical and vocal muscle to these songs. You know, her insistent bass lines, this, you know, just mercurial guitar solo, and the interplay between, you know, funky Voodoo Child-esque guitar licks and then almost like film noir piano combine on this track to bring the record to a very satisfying finish. It's obvious that DeGioacello treated this record with the same care she would an album of her own material, and that's what sets Ventriloquism apart from almost any other cover album that I can think of. And I really can't wait to hear what she does next. So I gave the record Ventriloquism a rating of 8 out of 10. All right, next up, I would like to talk about the new record from the band Hot Snakes, and the record is called Jericho Sirens. All right, so post-hardcore legends Hot Snakes return with Jericho Sirens, their first record since 2004's record Audit in Progress. Now, at a time when many bands in, you know, under the sort of post-hardcore tent have released mediocre or underwhelming records, unfortunately, At the Drive-In comes to mind. It's refreshing to hear a band come screaming out of the gate in the manner that Hot Snakes do on this record. So, why have Hot Snakes avoided the pitfalls that some of their contemporaries could not? Well, I have a theory about that. It's actually a two-part theory. Number one, the band's lineup hasn't changed. You have the same combination of individuals coming together with an intact creative nucleus of Rick Froberg and John Reis. Now, in the case of a band like At the Drive-In, one of the band's founding members, a guy named Jim Ward, did not join the band when other co-founding members, Cedric Bixler-Zavala and Omar Rodriguez-Lopez, reconvened. And, you know, I'm of the opinion that his absence made a big difference. And also, part two of my theory here is Hot Snakes is an entity that, you know, while perhaps influenced in part by Froberg and Reese's work in previous bands, Pitchfork and also Drive Like Jehu, Hot Snakes forges its own path and doesn't veer off course. If you look at 2017's incarnation of At the Drive-In, based on the sound of last year's record Inter Alia, you know, they were a band largely influenced by Bixler-Zavala and Omar Rodriguez-Lopez's, you know, large catalog of work as the Mars Volta. And in reality, that wasn't much of a surprise to me. So, you know, the decision by Hot Snakes, you know, to stick to their guns on Jericho Sirens is an admirable one, and they certainly deliver the goods. This record has a raw sound that straddles a line between the lo-fi of their early records, you know, and a polish that would make purists in at least three different genres, you know, cringe. They balance on this line, you know, with the grace of a surfer, much like the one in the album's cover photo. Here's a sample from the title track on the record, Jericho Sirens. Okay, so this record is a zero bullshit affair. The opening salvo of this track called I Need a Doctor sets a very anxious tone for the record, and this is only heightened by the, you know, the off-kilter rhythms of tracks like Candid Cameras and Why Don't It Sink In. And, you know, this fever is broken by the, you know, the more straightforward but no less captivating track Six Wave Hold Down. And also the title track, Jericho Sirens, of which you just heard a sample, which is a relentless, you know, mid-tempo stomper that pairs relentless power chords with these eerie vocal melodies from Froberg that just culminate in a strangled cry of take cover. And from there, you know, the band just rip through, a deceptively good-humored track called Death Camp Fantasy, and the white-hot track Having Another, on which the guitars are taken to another level of overdrive, really. A track called Death Doula, that's D-O-U-L-A, Doula, keeps up this frenetic guitar attack. And then the final, you know, 1-2 punch of these tracks, Psychoactive and Death of a Sportsman, don't let up on the throttle at all. You know, most bands would use, you know, their last opportunity on a record to present a longer, more expansive statement. But Hot Snakes know the value and effect of a concise, you know, musical statement. So, you know, at a half hour long, Jericho Sirens really scratches a particular itch for me, you know, while making me crave for more. So please, boys, don't wait another 14 years, okay? Begging you. So I gave the record Jericho Sirens a rating of 8.5 out of 10. All right, so moving on to the last record that I'd like to talk about today, and it's my personal pick of the week. This is a record that's very difficult to talk about. I could not come up with an actual number rating for this record, and it was actually very hard for me to even write a review of it, but I did the best I could, and here goes. So I'm going to talk about the new record from Mount Erie, which is the moniker for a Washington folk artist named Phil Alverum. And, you know, in all honesty, I really have no idea how to properly review this record. Perhaps you'll understand why if I give you some breakdown of its backstory. So, Phil Alverum, who is an Anacortes, Washington folk singer who was formerly in a band called The Microphones, has been making folk music under the moniker Mount Erie since 2003. Now, the other and most important piece of this puzzle now is the fact that Alverum lost his wife, whose name was Genevieve Gosselin, who was a Canadian artist and musician whom he married in 2003, to pancreatic cancer in 2016, shortly after the birth of their daughter. And just with an honesty and a matter-of-factness that most artists wouldn't dare, Alverum has crafted two albums, one being 2017's album A Crow Looked at Me, and this new album called Now Only, that both deal with his wife's death and his subsequent mourning. Here's a sample from the album's opening track, which is called Tintin in Tibet.
Molecules dancing, but I'd rather you were in the house watching the unfolding everyday life of this good daughter we made, instead of being scattered by the wind for no reason. So I sing to you.
Okay, so what makes this record and its predecessor so harrowing is the nakedness of Alverum's grief. He does not use his wife's death in order to, you know, wax poetic on these records. Instead, you know, the simple, honest language that he uses in his lyrics becomes a poetry in itself, one that reminds me a lot of a favorite writer of mine by the name of Tim O'Brien, who was most famous for his short collection of fiction, The Things They Carried. There's a part in one of the tracks on this record where Alverum describes the image of, you know, chunks of his wife's bones that he finds in their garden. You know, she had been cremated. That was her, you know, that was her wish. Just the starkness of Alverum's emotional state is just laid bare and raw under a harshly bright light. And, you know, like Tim O'Brien's stories, which deal with the emotional toll that war inflicts upon soldiers on the battlefield and beyond, Alverum's songs on Now Only, which often take the form of confessionals or these like one-sided conversations he has with his memory of Genevieve, just convey, you know, the fragile and ever-shifting process of mourning. And this type of catharsis would be tough enough to listen to from a singer, you know, with a flair for the dramatic, but the fact that Alverum sings and you know, sometimes kind of rambles with, you know, a limited range of melody, it just so effectively paints a picture of numbness, emotional numbness, that it just chills me to the bone every time I hear it. And Alverum doesn't spend too much time at all dealing with, you know, abstract images of loss and grief either. You know, he sings about hanging pictures of Genevieve all over his house, you know, in order to sort of surprise himself and remind himself of, you know, how much they loved each other. He sings about his first experience with a corpse, you know, which was his great-grandfather. He sings about the sort of surreality of playing his songs of death, you know, to college kids at a, you know, this festival date on which he shared the stage with artists like Father John Misty and Wiseblood and Skrillex. You know, he sings about writing a check and then, you know, bringing home his wife's ashes in a box. And he sings about all these things like a man adrift, you know, in a sea of just uncontrollable emotion, because that's exactly what he is. And, you know, sonically, now only is very much a picture of emotion and mood in a state of flux. You know, Elverum's fingerpicked guitar passages sound, you know, loose and sprawling, with some subtle instances of distortion, you know, and the occasional percussive flourish, there's a gong sound on Tintin in Tibet, which sounds, you know, coupled with the heartbreaking snatches of memory Elverum shares, detailing the early days of his relationship with his wife, just sounds like the ground falling out from underneath you. You know, even when Elverum uses artistic creations by others, you know, to speak about his grief, he positions a listener front and center, you know, by seeing Genevieve everywhere in them, as he does on the track Two Paintings by Nikolai Austrup. And on another track, which is called Earth, Elverum sings about hearing a song called I Will Lay Down My Bones Among the Rocks and Roots, by the black metal band Wolves in the Throne Room. And not only is there an obvious allusion to death in that song's title, but Elverum actually places a sample of the song playing at low volume, you know, into the mix. It's these sort of small touches that add so much resonance to the material, and it's tough not to feel uncomfortable with Elverum's intimacy on this record. I don't believe that Elverum in any way is setting out to create discomfort in a listener. He's simply expressing his emotions in a manner that, you know, he presumably hopes will aid him in coping with the sheer magnitude of his loss. You know, Now Only is a record that I don't even feel, as I said, I don't even feel capable of reviewing it properly or trying to come up with a rating for it. I mean, how do I quantify the merits of such a shockingly honest musical and lyrical picture? I can't, and that's why I'm simply going to tell you to listen to it. You know, and it will make you uncomfortable. You will probably cry. You will probably be in a dark place for a while after listening to it. But it's all worth it, because artistic expressions like Now Only represent, you know, the most important function of art, in my opinion, which is, you know, connecting all of us through shared human experience. So I gave Mount Eerie's record Now Only no rating. I cannot rate this record. I just can't, like I said, I can't quantify, you know, the emotions that are conveyed through this record. So, like I said, just go listen to it. That's all I can tell you. So, that wraps up my reviews for today. I hope I didn't depress you guys. But make sure that anybody out there who has listened to the podcast but hasn't joined the Radio Life Transmission Facebook community, please do so. Just go on Facebook and search for Radio Live Transmission, just the way it looks, as the title of the podcast, and you will find us. We have a lot of fun on there. There's a lot of people that post some really good stuff, and we welcome new members with open arms, much like Journey. So please do that, and join me also next time for episode 27, on which I will be reviewing new releases from Preoccupations, Jack White, The Sword, and Hyde. Alrighty, so this is Ryan for the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. Thank you guys for listening, and I will catch you soon. Signing off. Have a good day.